How we doing, Oak and Steel Podcast? This is Michael Cleary. I'm here, joined as always with the belated birthday, Matt Sutter. How you doing?
There you go. Now we're talking.
May or may not have missed Mr. Sutter's birthday and had to ask him when it was today, where he told me it was last week. So, right, last week, right?
That's
two
right.
Weeks almost. I don't know.
Yeah,
we've been in a different country. I don't know. I don't even. You're lucky that I'm even here.
We're lucky you're even speaking English.
Yeah, I should be a little wee bit of French. How are we doing, sir?
Oh, busy, yeah. Tired, weight lifted off your shoulders, all of the above.
Just crushing deadlines, winning championships.
My fingers hurt, Daddy. My fingers hurt.
Now your back's gonna hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I gotta say, man, pretty impressed by the Make What You Fear.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. We'll see how it wears and patinas, but I think it'll be fine.
Is there room? Is there room in there to snap in your championship belt? You're gonna do the discount double check now.
We'll have to see when the Working Hands podcast make the announcement. We'll see. It's a one winner takes all. So
I have been doing my part to champion that for you.
Oh, is that right?
Didn't you see me on the socials?
I don't get on your side much. I've been beating everybody up with my post today, trying to backtrack and cover all the footage, because towards the end it was just work and no play.
See, I reposted what you said, and then I just made a note that there was that you were the 2024 champion. And Keith said, "We'll see. We'll see."
I saw that. I didn't see the follow up from him.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah, man, it looks great. Tell me, give me the skinny on it. What were the parts that went really well? What were the parts that didn't go so well? Let's talk us through it. And maybe you do that in your videos that you're telling me that you're uploading here. But
I do, but I don't know if anybody's going to read it all or pay attention to it all. So it all really started with some inspiration and a vision. So for those catching up, I made a leather tool belt vest. I don't know. I'm still kind of figuring out the words for that, but I needed something in the shop. I wanted something in the shop that I could wear on my shoulders, but I wanted the tool belt off my hips. Back in the building trades days, you know, that just wore me out 20 years ago building yeah. That trades house. But so I kind of morphed it into one thing, and it's all inspiration. There's another one out there in the world that I kind of got inspired by, and there's many, actually. I did some looking, and there's plenty of people that have made these, but not mine, because I made mine, and that was where it all began. So I've never done leather work. I just got some leather, kind of took it at a step-by-step process, made a lot of templates, was plagued by unknowns and hope I didn't, you know, waste material and waste time, but there's a couple renditions. I've never made garments either, so that was kind of like, it looks good on paper flat, but then when you put it on your body and you add in your curvature, how does that change the way the panels lay on you? And so those were some challenges. And then just being a minimalist with budget and tools, you know, I used a lot of wood shop tools to craft this leather. I did buy, you know, your standard Amazon starter kit. But yeah, just kind of took it as it come and just kept pushing towards my end vision, I guess, my end goal. And out comes this final product that I've been posting about. So I'm pretty happy with it.
What was the hardest? I mean, I heard the panels flat are different than the panels on your body, but was there any stitching or any riveting, anything of that nature that caused you any grief, or not too bad?
There's stuff that I'm sure I did the hard way, just because I don't the order of operations. I just took it as it came to me, or as I thought the process went. I've never taken any leather working class or anything, so I could probably learn just as much now going to a leather making class, you know, whatever, making a wallet or whatever, and really understand more of it. But stitching, I just did by hand. You know, I just learned how to saddle stitch and stitched it all by hand. And I developed a technique that maybe isn't quite right, but it's strong and it'll hold. I don't know. I'm kind of already forgetting what you asked me. Can you repeat the question, sir?
Well, I just wanted to know, like, what was the piece that was the hardest for you, or what was the piece that gave you the most grief? And it sounds like it went relatively easy. Or, I mean, not easy, but like you kind of worked through whatever was challenging for you, and there wasn't a day where you threw the things across the room and said, "I'm done with this."
Right. Yeah. There's little beauty marks. There's blemishes that went wrong. The pencil holders, there's a score line. And I kind of had that all angles. Nothing was square. So I scored that first stitch line off the wrong angle. And that upset me. I was like, oh, and I can always remake this little pocket if I want to, or that for the holder. But I put it on the vest. I moved on. If I don't like it, or if it doesn't heal, because it was just like a little scratch. So if it doesn't heal or whatever, I can cut it off. I go to do the second one, did the exact same thing.
Oh, geez, so, that'll get you going. There's some words being said now.
Yes, there was, but I just embraced it, took it for what it's worth. It is what it is. And like I said, I made it. It's mine. I don't care.
Right.
It's my remembrance. So. The pocket was, I'm trying to get this reel out right now. The pocket was probably the toughest. I made that little leather pocket. I had no idea what I was doing, how the leather folds, and no idea. I mean, it won't hold water, but it'll hold snacks. So that's good enough.
That's what you got there, is a little snack pouch, huh?
Yeah. I kind of thought my phone would fit in it, but I used way too much glue. The glue, it was too wide. So now that took away my inner dimensions, and I don't know. I don't know what I'll use it for, but it's a pocket nonetheless. So
nice. No, it looked like to me, you're integrating this in with like the thoughts of a potential tool belt being either, or like tool pockets that could be added at a later date if you really wanted to. Is that what I was understanding?
Yeah. And the final post, once I get it out, we'll cover all that. I can really tool it up or tool it down as much as I want, which is the versatility I was looking for. When I go outside the doors of the shop, I might need an actual nail pouch. I might need my square, you know, I might need framing things or things that I don't normally carry. But when I'm in the shop, I don't need all that hanging off me. I just need some layout tools, pencils, you know, some drill bits or whatever. So now with this one go-to piece, I can put that on every day and have those standards on me every day. And then I can just add and subtract whatever I need from there.
Sure.
Instead of having 3-5 different tool belts for all the different things you want to do. And then you need pencils and squares. You need to add all that to each one of those options, or figure out where you left it last.
Right. I could see that. Walking around what do you call it? The 10x10 and being like, oh, pencil's over there and I got to go over here. And then, so I'm sure you ran into that. You run into that enough.
Yeah.
I saw the laser was zipping. What, was that part of this or was something different?
That was for this. I embossed a leather patch and branded my vest. Gave it a tramp stamp.
I was going to say, is that like a little butterfly tattoo on the back there?
Yep. As affectionately known as.
Yeah.
So
cool. Well, it seemed like a success story over there. Team Steel, we did not get to the finish line here, which I mean, to be honest, like my posts were pretty much, I was mailing it in to begin with. I just was trying to say like, hey, this is stuff I'm working on, and it happens to coincide with when the challenge is. But We're gonna get there. It's just not gonna happen by tomorrow or whatever, or tonight, whenever the last day. No, it'd be tomorrow, but we'll be all right. We're gonna make it through.
This pleads your case for next year to have a repeat they have the same qualifications, and then you can pick this right back up where you left off.
Well, it's going to be done by then, so we'll just have to just send out some old posts then. I got to actually run some machinery. Man, it feels like the last month I have been anything besides a machinist. I have just done sales, accounting, project managing. It hasn't been out on the road. Like, I'm leaving Monday to go out on the road again. So just have not had time to be in front of the Haas, really.
Yeah. So when you, 2 weeks ago, you said you had all this coming up. So let's take us around the world, Carmen San Diego.
Yeah. So we head for Chicago and we board the nonstop up to Montreal. Pretty uneventful there. The rental desk comes up and you can have this or you can have a Dodge Charger. I'm like, well, I mean, we're going to let her rip. So let's go with the Charger. So we got a little American muscle flying around in the streets of Canada. So anyways, we get to the get out of town in Montreal. The thing that's really unique or different there is it's almost as if you're in France. Like, everything is written in French. They do give you, at least in Montreal, they give you the benefit of, like, it's written first in French and bigger in French, but then they give you like a little English down below. When you get out to the outskirts, if you're still in, and it's not, I've always called it Quebec.
Yeah.
It's Quebec.
Hmm.
I had no idea. So as you get to the outskirts of Quebec, they are more, it's like, there are some people that they've never spoken a word of English in their life. It's just French. And so I ran into a few folks on the job site I needed a little back and forth with some bilingual folks to help me get through to the job, get the job done. So we got on site. It was my first one doing it by myself. So that's always fun, right? And we go to, they had done some, I don't know, there's some different standards for electrical and air and things like that can, Canada has to be cognizant of with, like, in regards to a roasting facility. So they had gotten into my electrical enclosure and they had done some wiring to tie a vent in so that when the machine turns on, this vent kicks open and allows fresh air to enter the room. Well, I don't know what happened, if they were pressing buttons in there or messing with stuff. Like, I can't get motors to turn. And I'm like, so I am problems. Like, I'm digging into this. I'm using my resources of, trying to figure out, like, what each piece, like, going through electrical diagrams and things like that. And I called in some help from the old man and my brother Kyle, who are a little bit more electrical engineer-ish, if you will. So we got the motors turning finally, but then the gas guys are having a heck of a time, like, getting all the air out of the line. So we're having a hard time getting the burners started. And then I'm like trying to do some other things and check other things. And it's like, intermittently, I can get these air cylinders to actuate. I can get them to actuate in the back of the machine by forcing them by hand. But when I go to do it electronically, nothing, no dice. So I'm in there jiggling on some wires. And all of a sudden it's like, it starts intermittently. Like, you can hear them go psh, psh, psh. And so something happened where a wire wasn't landed correctly. So, and long story short, it went well. We got to the finish line. We got it all running. We roasted some coffee. I actually got to play around with some Chinese equipment that was over there for packaging and kind of looking at some of that stuff. And I'm like a kid in the candy shop with that, like, trying to figure out other equipment and how it works and watching it run. So we did that for a couple. I was there till Wednesday. Thursday morning, got up. Nice little delay at the airport for no reason. Something to do with the air. I'm drawing a blank. If we lose cabin pressure, these will fall from the ceiling. You know, those things.
Yeah.
So, kind of important, but, like, I don't know what they were fixing, but they pulled all the luggage out from underneath and they did not look like they were in a huge hurry to get it fixed. There was a little jibber jabber and like, just, I don't know. It just seemed like we weren't real focused, but we made her back to the States and yeah, it was, I don't know. I enjoyed it. It was a learning experience and I felt like I got to kind of diagnose what was going wrong and some things. And it wasn't just a cut and dry, turn it on. Here's how you roast. Like there was some problem solving.
So we have to go back. Like, is there, that no. was a one-time deal.
One-time deal. Yeah. And then where I leave on Monday is I go down to Oklahoma City and I'm helping a customer that, maybe not as mechanically inclined, but also like just wants a really like thorough go through of the machine, try to figure out kind of where things are at, and try to help him get his machine where he feels it's more reliable for him.
Nice.
So yeah, a bit busy man for now. And then after that we go to Chicago for a show. So like an exhibition. So it'll be once that hits, the second week of April hits, then we can slow her down a little bit.
It'll be back to the CNC work, right? Just pushing buttons.
Yeah, hopefully pushing buttons. What about you? So the Make What You Fear got done. What the dog kennel is kind of taking a back seat to finishing this, right?
No.
Or fill people in. What's going on?
I was held up from that company. I think I covered that extensively last show, but
you got product in hand. It looked like
product is in hand, and where I got delayed was I didn't continue to process parts to finish sand and final profiling, which I did that. I've been doing that over the last couple of weeks since we last talked, but I've also been working a lot at the station. Spring break week, another heavy spring break week, had me locked down pretty good. So next week is a full week in the shop, and I'll pretty much have the thing brown and put together and on its way out the door here in the next couple weeks. I gave a delivery date for mid April next month, so that'll come around here real quick. That'll get finished up.
Yeah. Do you hate, so here, my experience with my dad is, and I can give you another update yet with our stuff, but my experience with my dad is that when really likes to not give out that date until he really, really knows, like it feels really good about it. What's your take on giving out dates?
Might've happened. Could have happened.
You're just like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to, or were you asked for a date?
She asked in a nice way, messaged me in a nice way, but with intent of how's it going? Where's my project?
Yeah.
And I was honest. I didn't give her all the details of the struggles that, cause they weren't her problem, but I accepted the heartache and the hardship with it. And just told her I'm a month behind from what I had planned, and gave her a date. Because I expect to have it done by then, one. And two, I'm going on my trip. My trip start here coming up, mainly for the year. And the next day, I'm leaving for Tennessee. So,
oh, so it's one of those.
Yeah.
So there might be some light, maybe some long days yet.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. That's usually how I do it.
I know a guy if you need some grunt labor.
Oh, moving it won't be bad. Moving in, like back right up to the door with the trailer and put it right in the trailer and deliver it. And it's just a drop off delivery. There's no install. There, you know, it's a furniture piece. So
sure.
And she wanted to do some house cleaning and keeping in that area anyway before that piece showed up. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And we're gonna, you know, my obsession with this vest is over, and we're going to just get into the next thing. And then I got two designs waiting and, you know, it's all waiting.
Question.
Yes.
Did you have to hit her with a sample of what you got in before you could say like, all right, we're going to go? Or did you finally just get it in and you're like, nope, don't have time. Like, this is what you're going to get.
No. So that's where some of the hardship came with this finish because I was making the furniture piece, making the parts, assembling it, all that work I was doing. And in my mind, I got, okay, I need to start getting this finish figured out because that's going to come up here pretty quick. And so I went through some samples with her, and that's when this delay started more than I expected. I thought we could, you know, I could run a board. I think I ran 6 different samples for her. And we kind of went back and forth on that. And, you know, that was builder client conversation. And I said, okay. And then I went to go order. And then that's when it came to a hard stop.
Gotcha.
And shortly after that, within the day almost, I really couldn't make any more. I was pretty much done because the drawer boxes I made, I couldn't finish them because I want to finish the inside before I put them together. Like, all these process steps are now held up by finish within the matter of a day. So
sure.
I probably could have got out ahead of that a little bit and got her a sample, maybe almost right away. So I could have been like a week or two ahead on that, but I still would have been delayed. And we worked through a bunch during that delay and we're all good to go. So
was that something, is that any of that, would that be a change in your process at all? Is now seeing kind of how you've had to experience this company? Like for me, I know there's a couple things that we buy for our machines that they're long lead times. So I got in the habit of, like, I started stocking on like 3 of them at a time or 2 of them at a time, at least. And in case one has to go for parts, like a spare part issue, and one could be for a new build. Like, do you think that you'll go the route? I mean, it's hard to say because everything's so custom for you, but do you think you'll add in like, this is my sample tree right here, this is what I have access to, like on the days that you're like setting up design stuff? Or do you think like it's just one of those things that has to wait till the end?
Well, I think you and I had that conversation between us, but you know, stuff overseas, market product sales, when it comes from overseas to the States, you know, there's one level of confusion that can happen. And so with this product, I got started with one company and had successful projects, did all these routines with this one company, and that company started ditching vesting and going to a different product. And there's all kinds of social media drama with that company anyway. So it was the break in the change from that company to this new company that offers the same product, but not to the extent that first company did. If anybody's following along with this.
Well, I get what you're saying. Like, you're saying like they might have a bluish brown line and a, like a yellow line, but they don't have that like bluish orange that you're looking for. Like, is that's what you're kind of saying? They're hitting the highlights, but they're not as in depth as the first company.
Yeah. And that first company did more. They did their own thing. They made some of their own recipes. And sure. So what I'm dealing with now is only what vesting product offers, puristically, right from Holland or, you know, wherever it comes from. So I didn't know that. I thought I had more color match options. I thought I had more opportunity based on my experience with this first company. And now that I'm with this other company, they're like, no, this is how we do it. So that's where I had to go back to the client and say, okay, I can't really color match to this furniture piece that you wanted me to match before. But out of these samples that I can offer now, which color do you like? Because they're most likely going to have me make more furniture pieces to complete a whole set for the living room. So I have enough now of the same color to just start doing their whole furniture set if that continues, if that makes sense. And I had a color wheel. I had like a 20 some color wheel of vesting colors from the first company.
Yeah. I remember I saw that a couple times.
And now that's essentially scrapped.
Like null and void.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I went from like 20 colors down to like 15 or 16. Rough numbers. So not bad, but
yeah.
It just
does that change? As I say, well, does that change your view on the company at all? I mean, not to I guess like I don't want you to paint yourself into a corner here, but like does that change how you view vesting? Am I saying it right? Vesting,
yeah. Yeah. No, I'm still a believer in the finish, in the process. It's the best for me. It's the most efficient for me in my shop. Mm-hmm. If I had a spray booth, different story. If I had a shop space where I could have a spray booth or a finishing area set aside, dust-free, sectioned off from the production area, different story. Then I can do spray finishes. Then I can do stuff that's more quality is whatever you want it to be. It's all about efficiency at that point, right?
Sure.
And there's tons of different sprays, and we're going to kind of get there this year down the pipeline. I have a painted job coming up later this year, so I'm going to have to figure out how to do painted work and spray finish and that kind of stuff. But doing woodworking projects and turning them around and having a nice oiled look on them is what I want to offer. So we'll get it. We're good now. Everybody's happy.
Get some.
And it just didn't help that company, once we got all that figured out, that they sent me the wrong color.
That's right. You did say you lost a little bit of time on that.
So it's just kind of salt in the wound at that point.
Yeah.
But
I keep hearing there's the other projects coming down the line. Do you want to divulge any of that, or is it still close to the leather vest? Ooh, see what I did there.
I did. No, it's the next two jobs are casework. So more plywood, sheet goods, cabinet boxes, face frames, built-in book library thing.
And you're doing that one. Okay, nice.
Yep, that one's moving forward. And then kind of like a built-in armoire, kind of like a built-in closet. It's going to be freestanding, but it's going to be built for the specific space and kind of built in there. So that's the painted one. That'll be white.
Mm.
Yeah.
Will you or will you not have an access door to Narnia in the back?
We'll see.
All right. I
might have to get crafty.
Hidden
gems I can put in that thing.
Yeah, I like it.
So yeah, it's gonna be busy and stuff's on the uptick around the farm again. So I wanna start hammering on that list, and I have been. That's been taking an hour or two a day here and there also.
Yeah, I caught a what was it, a reel or just a video? Maybe it's just a story. You were laying stuff out for, maybe that was just to tie in your SketchUp stuff that you were doing. Was that, I mean, it looked like you were was that just like kind of like a, this is what it looks like now, and this is what the SketchUp was?
Yeah, I had to, again, get that obsession out of my head. I've had this vision in my head how the front of my shop's going to look for, I don't know, 8-10 years or so. So I finally just had to get it out and get the rendering on SketchUp, but it also set the layout because I'm moving forward with one of the final stages in getting that cedar on the front wall. And there's a big party at the farm coming up, and I won't have the timber frame overhang done, but I tell myself I'm going to have the front wall done.
Well, look like your board. You sent me a picture. Did you make that picture public that you got the board cleaner done? See that?
No, but I have the parts. Oh yeah. Okay. Did I show you the actual parts put together?
I thought so.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll do some good podcasting here while I look through my text messages and see what you sent me.
So I'm gonna burn those cedar boards, and Michael loves the terminology for that. Go ahead, Michael.
Shishigibon. Shishishibon. I was such a nut for Chip Gaines. I thought that guy was hilarious. I even read his book.
Yeah.
And he was one of the episodes he did, Shishigibon.
Yeah, that's all he did that whole episode.
Yeah.
Just
torch him. Well, yeah. I've seen other ones where they'll take three pieces, make a triangle, and then they burn the insides of them and then open them up and douse them.
Yeah.
Is that Shishigibon still too, or is that a little different? Yeah.
Same thing. I think I'm just laying them flat on the gravel and torching them.
So I'm looking at the picture here. Let me describe it to the listeners. We've got what I call pillow block bearings. So these bearings have, it's a two bolt flange, and the bearing lays perpendicular to the bolts. There's two of them. And then it looks like we've got threaded rod stick. Is that threaded rod sticking through there?
Yep.
And that's just so you can lock down your brush.
That's right.
Okay. I love it. This is my wheelhouse. We're marrying the things together here. I see plywood and I see bearings and a brush. I like it.
Well, cool. So is that the SketchUp model you were looking at?
No.
Oh, that's the real one.
Your broom here. I'll flip it around for you so you can see what I'm looking at.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So
where are we at with that piece?
So I have all the parts. I just have to make the machine, in essence. And this machine, so the brushes are 4-inch drum restorer brushes. You know, those restorer is an actual brand name of them, but like Harbor Freight has one and whatever that tool polishing or material polishing sanding thing.
If I was going to describe it to a listener, I'd say it looks like almost like a chimney sweep. Like that's the bristles look something like that. You know, if you've ever seen like old movies of chimney sweeps, it's longer and it's more in like a drum, but they're long bristles like that.
Yeah. So most of these restorer tools have different grits or, you know, for polishing metal and that sort of stuff. So I found a brush head that was horsehair, which I believe will brush off that char better than an actual sand grit paper. So I got two of those, bolted them together. So now I have an 8-inch wide drum head, and I'll pass the boards through underneath at an even rate to keep a consistent brush mark as that char comes off those boards. And I made this machine.
And you're just gonna run like a drill on the end that's into that threaded rod, right?
Yep.
So she's spinning.
Yeah, I got a drill, like a corded drill. But the ones with that little dial on the trigger, right? So I can lock the trigger, but I can also set the RPMs because I don't know. I mean, I guess wide open would be fine, but maybe it doesn't need to be wide open. I don't know. I gotta see. So that's another design element that I made sure to factor in, and I'll make this thing and we'll just see how it goes. But I got to pass 30 boards through it and then 29 battens also.
Nice. And you're just going to get that from our good friends over at Cedar Direct?
I already have it.
You already have it? Our good friends at Cedar Direct?
That's right.
All right.
Yes, they are. So they are a big part of that. And
Jacob and Levi on the show. Do you know those guys by the chance at all?
Well, I don't, but they should know me.
Sure. Paying for that extra plant, that plant down in Tennessee.
No, I've done a lot of work through them, and they're a good source for material. That's for sure. But I don't know if I stand out enough to really know me different than anybody else that walks in the door, but a lot of my work has come from there.
Yeah. It's good quality lumber too, right?
Yeah, it's good. I actually, I was really working hard with them to try to make a cedar timber frame bridge.
Ooh.
Yeah. But they couldn't source. The only limitation I will say about Cedar Direct, this isn't a plug for them, but they cannot order a specific lumber load. They just get whatever they get from a mill. So I need specific dimension, specific parts, and they really don't offer that, at least at the time when I was trying to build this bridge.
Sure.
They just get random width, random length material, and then they sort it out from there.
Well, they've got something in Tennessee. Did you know that?
That's new. That's relatively new within this last year. So maybe that's part of it, but from what I understand, their material comes from the coast.
Okay.
Any which one, left or right.
Sure.
And they really can't place an order with the mill is what or maybe they didn't want to. I don't know. I got held up with that, and then the project fell through anyway. So not a big deal. Sure.
Yeah. I saw, speaking of sponsors, are we just gonna just brush over this Menards thing? You're getting free product, and I just, is that what I'm hearing?
Well, you've been missing if you haven't been signed up for Menards birthday things. You get something free every time.
What did you get? Is that a nice little mug?
Yeah, it's the Menards mug.
That is fancy. What's on the thumb there? Is that like a little grip?
It's like a bolt head.
Huh.
I don't even know. I'd have to go back and see the picture I sent you.
That's the kind of cup you just leave and nobody touches.
Exactly.
And you leave a little coffee stain in there, right? Right there. Just long enough that we can get Joe Rogan Kyle to throw up in his mouth.
Yeah, exactly. You get like flashlights, you get little whatever stuff they sell for $1 you get for free.
Oh.
On your birthday.
Yeah, it makes you feel special, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I'll take that. Thank you. For free.
I don't know. Maybe they're in the market for a podcast to rep them.
I mean, I'd take it.
Heck yeah.
I prefer them. I'm there every day. I know all three stores by pretty much. I had to walk Taylor through the store the other day, and I said, you should walk to here, here, and here in this order.
Yeah.
That's what makes sense.
I was out at the Platteville one, and they're great about this. Say what you will about the 11% rebate things, but there's sometimes when they're just trying to move product and you see the red sticker, it's showtime.
Yep.
And they like, there's some high quality stuff sometimes that's got a red sticker on it. And I was walking through for whatever reason, and I just over by the dog treats. I think I had Gus in the van with me. I'm like, I'll get him a little treat. So I walk over and boom, red sticker. These treats, he loves them. They are and they smell like, it's like a bacon and egg quiche is what, yeah. Something or other. He loves them. He eats the heck out of them. And I'm like, whoa, where have these been my whole life?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I go there with the mindset, like this drill that I'm getting for the machine I'm building.
Going to get a Masterforce?
Yeah, I'm getting the cheapest one that meets my qualifications and suits my needs. I'm not buying the drill that's the forever drill because I don't care. That's not the intent. And so if I can get it 11% off or red tagged or whatever it is, whatever, that works for me. But then I get my screws and everything else while I'm there.
Sure.
Harbor Freight, I'll just compare some of that stuff with Harbor Freight, but yeah. All depends on what else I got to get for the day.
Big Menards fan here.
Yeah.
We got a sectional couch from there once. What's the most obscure thing you have ever gotten from Menards? I mean, honestly, getting a sectional couch at a hardware store is probably up there a little bit for me. No, what about you?
I can fulfill this question. No problem. I was doing a deck job in Sauk. And for the family listening, either this is news for you or maybe you figured it out, but I was doing a deck job up in Sauk, and it was family Thanksgiving. So it wasn't Thanksgiving Day, but it was like that weekend or whatever. It was family Thanksgiving in at like noon or 1 o'clock. Well, I went up there to get a little work in the morning, had to go to Menards for the job. Was not coming empty handed, but I also might've been required to bring milk or something. Well, Menards fulfilled my need for the food I had to bring to the family Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice.
It was a one-stop shop.
That's awesome.
And I showed up just in time delivery, right at eating time. But that's my MO.
Two more Menards things for you. Last year we were in there, and they have come out now. You know, Home Depot, they've got the big, whatever it is, 14, 15-foot skeleton for Halloween.
Hmm.
Menards, they're up in their game. They had like a 25-foot blow-up Santa. It was huge. And it was over in the garden department. And they also have one for Halloween, too. It is ginormous. It's big. It's bigger than my house, guaranteed. Like, if I blew it up and put it in my front yard, you'd see it from streets over.
Well, you ain't got nothing on our good friend Ed Johns.
What's he do? Is he a decorator?
Oh, he's got every inflatable you can have at Christmas time.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
And then, so here's the other thing. It's 1998. Mitch Sutter's walking you around Menards. What are you looking for while you're there? There's only one answer. If you don't say it, I don't know if you're really a big Menards fan or not.
Oh, no.
So as a kid, if you got drug into Menards, what did you go for?
Candy?
No. They opened up. They always had they had a big old pallet of boxes. And inside the boxes, they had bags of pretzels. And they're just open to the public. And you just go in, crane out a handful of pretzels, and you walked around with a little snack of pretzels the rest of the time you're in there. You never had pretzels from Menards.
No.
Stop it.
Hey, I'm just down here in the common folk, Mike. You must have been in the upper class.
I don't think so. I think this is for everybody to get their hands in. Could you imagine that nowadays?
Yeah, nowadays, heck no.
They'd have to be individually proportioned out and you could walk right in and unless I'm crazy, I don't know if we've got, give me all of our Menards listeners to chime in on this, but I'm pretty positive you could crane in a handful of pretzels and go on your way. Anybody.
My Menards career didn't start till late in life, until my adulthood.
Okay. So, well, that's fair. I think it was over by then. Gone.
Yep. Yeah.
So you can't just be giving out free pretzels. That's a lot of the Cleary family alone cut into their budget.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You ruined it for all the rest of us, Mike. Yeah,
pretty much. Free pretzels at Menards. That's a chime that you don't get out of your head, is it? Save big money at Menards.
Well, I don't know if you're a real big social media guy posting while you're inside Menards, but there's a couple of people I follow that will post something or post a price about something or talk about something while they're in Menards posting it, and that's all you hear on the overhead. You just hear that chime, that jingle.
Gosh, that's great.
I can't imagine listening to that every day, all day.
No. The other one around here, we've got some good jingles around this area. The other one, Woodman's. Better products, better people, because we're employee owned.
True.
Bill Woodman, everybody.
But they're not cranking that over the overhead in the store, are they?
No, it's just commercials.
The commercials, yeah.
I've seen him zipping around in a Woodman's before. Man, that guy can scoot. He is on a mission.
He's a quick little fella.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So there's our dive in to try to get ourselves a few more sponsors on the show.
Yeah, I think the only thing we haven't covered is the weather, probably.
Yeah. How did you handle false spring? Because your birthday basically turned it around on us.
Yeah, I know. I knew it was coming. It always happens that way.
It was so nice. And then winter came back Tammy got off of school one day.
Yeah, well.
Was that on your birthday?
Yeah.
Thought so.
I heard schools had to burn a snow day. Some schools, maybe even the one you live in. So
they went virtual. So the old kids, they had to do a virtual day, and then the young kids don't need as many hours, so they got to enjoy a long spring break.
Yeah. No. Oh, it was fine. I got done what I had to do.
Did you do it? Since someone forgot and I haven't really chatted with you too much, what were the birthday celebrations like?
Not too much. Pretty mild, which is okay. But we did, Taylor and I did some rock climbing. Went to Boulder's gym and did some indoor rock climbing. That was fun.
Fun muscles you didn't know you had.
Yeah, that's a thing. You know, it's just a starter thing. So they give you the shoes. They obviously have the harness and they hook you up to this automatic lanyard and say, have fun. That was fun. That triggered some old memories of climbing trees and silos at the farm and just being just crawling around everything.
Yeah.
Jumping back down. And then the evening kicked off with nice fish dinner, some friends, and nice evening at Country Bar. So it was pretty relaxed, which is good.
Couple Busch lattes.
Pretty much.
You ever done the Busch Light apple?
No. I've had a few sips of it, but I don't think I finished the whole can myself.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I think it's like a one and doneer. Like you can't, if you go too much more, you might have your green apple quick step.
Another coined phrase just from our family, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'd never heard it until I heard you say it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
Who throws that one around the most, Mitch?
Well, that was a term set around the station, and I brought home because it represents real life.
Yeah.
At times. So.
So Grandpa's birthday is coming up. Tell me about what's that looking like?
Grandpa's birthday is coming gone.
Well, right, but I mean the party. But
the party's coming up. And it's just a nice get together at the farm. And it's been a little while since we've had one, but you know, my shop's been kind of eyesore to myself, to the neighbors, to everybody down there. So I'm just really in a push to at least get the front covered up. Then all four walls, well, three walls are done. The tin work's all completely done.
Right.
So then all the Tyvek is covered up finally. And that's kind of my big hope.
Sure.
But lately, you know, it's spring. So the birds and birds are doing bird things in the spring, from little to big. And there's some turkey vultures that were getting frisky on the barn roof. And I watched them the other day, and okay, that's fine. They do their thing. Well, then they flew into the barn through the open windows. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So I've had two windows in the barn for the last 2 years to fix and put up in the barn. And it's those really gable barn windows, the ones that are way up high on the end.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Yeah. So, I got one window made and I got to get the other one made. So you'll see another post coming about that, but you know, just one more thing on the list to do before the big party. It's like the Pope's sure. coming, you know, we got work to do.
Yeah.
But
Grandpa's probably itching to get out there and mow some lawn. He likes scooting around on that. Is that a John Deere I saw?
Oh, no, absolutely not. We are not a John Deere family.
I thought he had a John Deere that he was rolling around with. Maybe that's my grandmother.
Cub Cadet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If it's yellow, let it mellow.
No, Cub Cadet in red. That's what's on our farm.
Fair enough. So. Sweet.
So well, that's what I got coming up.
Yeah. And then the trip is, remind me of the trip again. Is that the one to Tennessee?
Yeah, that's the taking the Razor out for its first ride of the year, rock climbing, and having just a nice long week, if that makes any sense. It's like Saturday to Thursday, I think, is our trip time. So
nice.
Go down with some friends, hang out, do some riding. It's kind of the big spring opener for me. I don't do anything in March, really. So
sure. And then the boat will be out before too long. And
yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
What do you think? We just do, I guess you scolded me on this. I wasn't even paying attention. But we got a birthday celebration to happen here for the old Oak and Steel.
Yeah, I was just gonna bring that around. Another year goes by.
I think you made a comment, and I kind of was digging it, about going to the Brewer game for our birthday or anniversary, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like
Steel
that.
Oak and Steel had a like 1 year, hit the 1 year mark.
We just kind of, we've discussed this. It's going to be just kind of like a long season. Like we're just, season one is just going to last for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if we get a sponsor, we'll jump into season two.
When was it? Do you even know the date? Did you have it in mind?
Well, if I get on the shtick here, I could give you a glance at it. I want to say March 15th sounded like in my head what it was. Let's scroll down to it. I guess it depends on if you're talking the podcast introduction or the where we were real quick and dirty, I think. But the one that the very first one, Shenanigans on the Roof, that came out March 15th, 2023. That's where it all started. We have the most listeners on that one and quickly descended back after that fact. But that's all right. That's all right.
Situation.
Got the hardcores are still with us.
I can't even tell you how many episodes we have. Is it 25 then? I'm assuming 24, 25.
Doesn't... No, we got more than that. Well, I don't know. Well, that's neither here nor there, but we'll jump over to the analytics.
Yeah. Let's hear the listeners want to hear about themselves.
Hey, 1,225 times you've pressed the play button on Oak and Steel, and we appreciate it. So thank you very much. And you're coming from all over the globe, it looks like. We've got United States, Canada, Germany. United Kingdom, Australia. Yeah.
Really?
An Australian listener. G'day, mate.
Down under.
Down under. So I don't know. I don't know who got wind of us down there, but we'll take it.
Must have been a mishap.
Maybe. Maybe.
Well, for our German listeners, I want to come back someday. I want to come back to the motherland.
Yeah. I didn't know you'd been.
I haven't. It's just our ancestry. I wanna go back to where we came from and
check it out.
Throw my last name around and see what it gets me.
How do you think they pronounce it?
Well, I would imagine there's probably some umlauts over the S or over the U. You
know? I would imagine.
Yeah. I don't know.
Are you pretty much like I'm a mutt. Like we're very like if I got a lot of stuff going on here. But obviously the Cleary name comes from the folks in Ireland.
Yeah.
But what's the Sutter name? Is that because people want to here, let's get out the ancestry.com day on the show. what's the Sutter name coming from for the most part? I hear German.
I got a lot of German running through me. So
sure.
I don't really know much else. I know it's pretty well tracked all the way back to Germany. Like even like I guess they do kind of have states in Germany and over there in general. It's all kind of different than the U.S., but they do have states or provinces or whatever. And where our track came from isn't really a recognized state anymore. It's more of a region, I guess, or something. So I don't know. I'm pretty sure I could get back to the area. I don't know what that is right off the top of my head, but
probably a farm.
My family knows.
Probably a farm just like you got.
Yeah.
I think we got somebody in our family group that between the on the Weiss side. No, maybe it's not the Weiss side. Maybe it's the Cleary. I don't know, whatever. There's somebody that's tracking this stuff and making a tree out of it all. I think it's might be Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we're pretty well tracked, so I know I could go back and like I said,
they got your papers.
Do some name dropping.
Ooh, maybe I shouldn't say it like that.
See where it gets me, if it gets me a black eye or a cheer.
Yeah. But, wow. That sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, birthday celebration. I'm in on the brewer game celebrating. I think that'd be a fun thing to do. I don't know that we have too many listeners that would want to come along with us, but you and I can at least enjoy a brewer game and some beverages. And I like your idea of sitting in the third deck. I like that.
We'll kick Bob Uecker out and we'll just have a podcast right from the announcing studio.
I don't know if Mr. Uecker is going to be from the scuttlebutt. I'm a little worried about how many times we're going to hear him on the radio this year.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. You got me talked into doing the audio at bat thing. Yeah. I don't know if I'm there yet. I'm either going to invest in that or I'm going to spend a little bit of money and do the Bally Sports so I can watch them. Those that don't know, like you can't the MLB TV stuff. You can't just if you buy it and you live in near your team, you can't watch them. So like, it'd be great if I was wanting to root for the Cardinals or the Cubs, I'd be able to watch them all the time. But
I understand since that
it's the Brewers, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's just a listening pastime for me, and I'd much rather just listen to that in the shop than I'd have it on if I could watch it. But I'd rather just listen to it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Just like old times.
Just like old times. I remember, so just jumping into our hockey fandom when we were kids, I vividly remember driving. Yeah. We'd be going somewhere at night and my dad would have the hockey game on and we'd be listening as we were driving somewhere. And they didn't, I don't know, did you watch it last night?
No.
They're in the, I don't know, like the Sweet 16 of the tournament. Like they made the tournament for the hockey tournament, the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
And they bowed out to the defending champs, Quinnipiac, last night in overtime.
So men's and women's lost in hockey, hey?
They did. The women's made it to the championship, and we bowed out right away. But it was a step up compared to what it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It was always on in the barn, I remember, as a kid. They always listened to the Badger hockey. It's always a fond memory.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny how all that, just like a little thing like that, will trigger something that from when you're a kid and you remember just the feeling of being where you were and who you were with and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So, well, that was a fun trip down memory lane there, sir.
So after, all soft on me.
Yeah. So we'll do a brewer game. We'll make a post and at some point here. I'd say April sounds like a grand time to go to a brewer game.
Yeah, I like going in the opening week if I can. Maybe not the opening day, but opening series or opening week. It's always kind of nice.
They got the Twinkies next week. So I don't know if you're going to make that one or not, but
I don't know.
We'll I think see. You said you're in the station.
Yeah. It's all time and money.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, we'll get out of here. We'll save you the sports talk. And before too long, I'll be talking about cutting grass. So we better get out of here for the folks.
Yeah. You better charge your batteries.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get charged, my friend. Okay. I got to finish making it not look like an eyesore this summer.
Yeah.
We got people moving out of the neighborhood because of it.
Yeah. I've heard.
That's a little behind the scenes shot at Matt. All right, my friend. Well, for Matt Sutter, I'm Michael Cleary. If you've never reviewed the podcast, we'd love to have you give it a little review on the platform you're listening on. If you're following along, I'm sure you're already there, but Mr. Sutter is at First Due Construction. I run the Oak and Steel podcast. And we'd love to have you interact with us when you get time and give us a little bit of a 5-star review, maybe.
Yeah, even if it's the worst worded review, like you can tell us how bad it really is, but just give it 5 stars. That's all we want.
Yeah.
We want your honesty, but we want 5 stars. So those are the terms.
Those are deal with it. Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here. For Matt Sutter, I'm Michael Cleary. This has been Oak and Steel. Oak and Steel out.
See you then.